Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
And good morning. Look at that. Just like that, we've made it to the day before Friday. I like to call it Friday Eve. And we are on the cusp of the weekend. Rafael Goyeneche is going to join us in the 12 o'clock hour. And as you know, every time we get the president of the Metro Crime Commission, and he has some amazing insight and usually some developing and or breaking information that you're not going to hear anywhere else. And today he's going to bring us an update on the investigation into the alleged battery committed by St. Tammany Parish Sheriff Randy Smith and the tentacles that we've seen grow from that incident. He'll also tell us about the five arrests in the Republic nightclub mass shooting and why Leon Cannizzaro is retiring from the Attorney General's office, among other issues that he'll handle for us in the 12 o'clock hour. Next hour, we'll have the Port of New Orleans show, and we'll have time to talk to you on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text line at 504-260-1870. I have a bunch of topics I think you might want to chat about today, and we'll open it up for anything you want to bring to the table. But this hour, we're going to start by talking about the U.S. Senate race in Louisiana, and most specifically, the Republican runoff, with early voting starting tomorrow. It feels like there is far less hype and excitement about the runoff than there was about the primary, now that the incumbent has been eliminated from the ballot and will not be returning to office. Not seeing as many ads, not hearing as much interest, and not hearing as much buzz about this race, with early voting one day away. So we wanted Joshua Stockley, a professor of political science at the University of Louisiana, an analyst frequently on WWL, to join us and help us figure out what's going on. Hey, Josh, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Thanks for being here. I have been seeing a lot of ads in this race recently that are targeting and attacking what we thought was going to be the man who had no chance of winning this race. But the fact that they're running ads against him shows me that maybe, just maybe, he is mounting a pretty good campaign. What is the latest? What are polls telling us? And what are you seeing out there to tell us who's winning this race and what the future holds?
Yeah, you know, by all accounts, Representative Letlow is in a strong, commanding front runner position. You know, you mentioned it seems like a lot of the hype has been removed from this race. And I would agree with Senator Cassidy being defeated and no longer in the election. I think part of the reason is, you know, the incumbent, the individual that drove the competition, is out. And there is an operating understanding, maybe understanding is the wrong word, but there is just a conventional belief out there that Letlow has this race wrapped up.
But then if that's true, and if her campaign feels like she has it wrapped up, why would Julia Letlow be actively campaigning and spending money to campaign against John Fleming? I'm seeing so many attack ads on Fleming that it makes me think her campaign must think he's got a real shot at this thing.
I mean, anybody's got a shot until the final poll has closed and the final ballot has been cast. So you can't take anything for granted in politics, whether you've got a 40% lead or no lead. And so I think Representative Letlow and her staff are operating under the assumption that this is a new race, a fresh beginning, and she has to approach John Fleming the same way she approached Senator Cassidy, and don't take it for granted and close it out.
You know, we talked to John Fleming right after the primary, and we've asked Julia Letlow to join us dozens of times, and her campaign literally just ignores us and has no interest in having her come on the radio or do any other media interviews. I haven't seen her doing any media. That seems to be a strategy, though, that they just want the ads to speak for themselves. They want the fact that the president endorsed her to be the ringing message out there, and they don't want her to be subject to having to answer questions from reporters or talk show hosts, because why would they when she appears to have a comfortable lead?
Yeah, you know, it's two sides of the coin. On the one side, I say this is bad for democracy. This is bad for the citizens. I think any candidate, regardless of their status, should make themselves freely available to the media, to the public, and to each other. And so when you decline to participate, I think you're doing public service and democracy a disfavor. However, it is the classic rule of political campaigns. When you are the heavy front runner, you generally pull back from public appearances. The idea is, you know, you might say something off, and whether it's intentional or purely accidental, you're trying to reduce the odds of a slip up that might cost you something. The ads are safe. That is a controlled message. That's a controlled theme. Everything there is controlled. So when you go live, you know, you're opening up for the unknown, and you don't want any unknowns at this point in the race.
Yeah, you don't want to make a mistake. I mean, that's clear. Correct. You don't want to say something that could hurt your lead. I guess it's like a football team just running the ball to try to run the clock out in the fourth quarter of a game with a comfortable lead and not risk an interception or a turnover and do everything you can to protect that lead. I get it. Like you, I think it's unfortunate. And I don't think that we should have laws that require debates or require access to candidates, because I don't think that that's in the spirit necessarily of how we like to run our democracy. But at the same time, I do think it is unfortunate that we are seeing more and more where candidates refuse to debate, refuse to make public appearances, and want the very controlled message that they put out on airwaves and social media and through text messaging, and never allow anyone to question their positions or challenge them on whatever they may need be challenged on.
Correct. I mean, you're a public official. You should, regardless of your position at the most local level or the most federal level, you should be accountable, and you should be available to answer any and all questions. And you're right, legislating won't solve this problem, nor should it probably be legislated.
Yeah, you know, and especially in this day and age where we have such visceral conversations and attack ads and posts on social media and everything else, I really want to know the truth. I really want to have an opportunity, and not necessarily will we always get the truth from being able to ask those questions, but at least we can get closer to it or see, you know, I want to ask, I have never heard Julia Letlow respond to some of the very specific attacks against her and claims made against her. I've never heard her deny them. I've never heard her confirm them or explain them. And to me, as a voter and as a journalist, that does concern me, that I want to know, wait, is this true? Did she really do the things that her opponents claim she did, or that the political action committees are asserting that she did? How much truth is there to this, if any? But she won't give us that opportunity.
Yeah, you know, and that's, again, that is difficult. Whether it is John Fleming or Julia Letlow, I think if you are running for office, you make yourself and you should be available to answer every question and answer them as directly as possible, not counting obvious social, you know, national security or maybe some intensely personal family situations. You know, you're a public official, you know, like, for example, Letlow's comments on DEI. You know, where do you stand? Where are you? What's the accurate record? Those are fair questions. And I don't think Julia should evade those. And I don't think Fleming should evade any equal questions as well.
Yeah. You know, that's very specifically one of the things I'd love to ask her about, these attack ads that claim that when she was a university administrator, she was very pro DEI and was promoting and pushing policies that are now very frowned upon by the right-wing Republican majority. And not to be critical, or but to say, okay, did you believe that then? Do you still believe it now? If not, why not? But again, we make the requests, and we will continue to make the requests and see what happens. I don't want to harp on that. As voters go to the polls tomorrow, starting early voting, we really have seen a shift where it used to be that Election Day was the crescendo. Election Day, we saw a race up to Election Day before this widespread early voting that we have now. Now, early voting is so popular that really, if candidates haven't gotten their messages out by now with early voting starting tomorrow, then they haven't run a great campaign, have they?
Yeah, you know, the campaigns have shifted. There really are two campaigns. And the first campaign is you're trying to reach the people that are most likely to vote early. There's a convenience there. And a lot of people are taking advantage of that convenience. So, you know, step one is, you know, you've got to hit your messaging early and clear. The bad thing is if you're a little bit behind, you know, 2-3 weeks out, like a John Fleming, it makes it very, very, very difficult to catch up if, you know, a 10 or 20% of the eligible voters have already cast. But you can still push. And, you know, again, it's not over till it's over. This is still a time to be aggressive and make your last minute case to, one, remind people there's an election, and two, why they should push the button for you and not your opponent.
We're talking with University of Louisiana political scientist Josh Stockley about tomorrow's early voting. And we are focused very, very much so on the Republican runoff, because while we say anything can happen and it's never decided until the last ballot is cast, do the Democrats have any chance in the fall general election of beating either Fleming or Letlow who emerge from this?
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I'd have to put it at about a 0.01%. And, you know, I never want to give anything a zero. You know, and that 0.1% says, just in case, you know, there's a scandal we don't know about, or, you know, God forbid something should happen to a candidate. You know, it's not over till it's over. But the realities, the political, the financial, the ideological realities of the field and this state, this is a Republican state. The Democrats are not currently well organized or well financed. And with all due respect, don't have as strong of a candidate as Letlow or Fleming. So it's going to be a very, very, very tough race for the Democrats to win.
Julia Letlow going into this, and it's actually kind of a funny story that she hadn't even decided to run yet. And she met President Trump or saw President Trump at an event. And she actually, her engagement happened at that event. Her now fiance had proposed to her, and the president brought them up and congratulated them. And then, without even her having formed a campaign or made an announcement that she was going to run for Senate, the president said he was endorsing her for U.S. Senate. So now she's got President Donald Trump pretty much telling her, you should run for office, and you have my support. So she did. And that has kind of been the focus of this whole thing ever since, is President Trump did not like the incumbent because the incumbent voted to impeach him during his first term. Cassidy was on the president's bad list, and Letlow emerged as his way to try and get rid of Cassidy. That was the focus of the primary. I haven't seen a single commercial with President Trump endorsing Letlow since the primary election. And if they're running, they're not running nearly as frequently as they did before. And I know that John Fleming has talked to the president since then and reminded the president he worked for him in his first administration and had suggested to the president that he should be the president's candidate. That all having been said, with voters so focused on getting rid of Bill Cassidy because Donald Trump wanted him out of office and driving voters to the poll in the primary, that goal was accomplished. Cassidy's gone now. Is the same motivation there by the MAGA Republicans, by the ardent Donald Trump supporters, to go and support Julia Letlow now? Or will this be determined by turnout and what may be a much lower turnout in this runoff?
Yeah, a lot there. You know, I think the biggest thing that is still on the line a bit is Trump's legacy. You know, Trump did endorse Julia Letlow, and that played a powerful role for Representative Letlow, as many other individuals at local and federal levels across the nation over the last month. So, you know, his endorsement was significant and probably what might have pushed her over the edge with against Senator Cassidy. But Trump's legacy is still on the line here. You know, even though you have endorsed a Republican, and a Republican will likely win, one could say, oh, if Fleming wins, there's no loss there. You know, you don't want any little blemishes on your record. So for Trump's endorsee to win and follow through, that would be the ultimate victory, both for Trump and for Letlow. And since she's a heavy favorite, there's no reason for Trump to waste any more resources, most likely in this state or on behalf of Letlow. He has more competitive races and dollars are finite. So he's going to save those for other critical races across the nation.
And there are other critical races. That's a good point. They know now that he's accomplished his goal of getting rid of Cassidy. Cassidy will not be returning to the U.S. Senate. Now he has to be very focused on trying to maintain the majorities that the Republicans have in the House and the Senate. And that makes sense. But to the turnout issue, here in Louisiana, does Fleming have a better chance than he otherwise would, even though he appears to be behind Letlow in the polls, because turnout may be very low in this because there's not the same intense MAGA drive to the polls that we saw in the effort to make sure that Cassidy didn't return to office?
Yeah, that's a tough question, and I think that's a really good question. The fewer voters that come out means the fewer voters you need to win. And if you're running behind like John Fleming, then a low turnout election could benefit you because a bunch of Letlow supporters say, oh, she's got this in the bag. I'm going to sit this out. There's nothing to worry about here. So if you are the Letlow campaign, you have to be a little bit worried or concerned about voter fatigue or voter apathy. And I think that's why she's keeping up the attack ads, because she's trying to, portray, hey, this race is not over. Anything can happen. So I'm sure Fleming would not be mad about low turnout. But at the same time, in order to win, even under those conditions, he's got to have more advertising, more appearances, and a very, very strong ground campaign.
Yeah, and so much of his campaign, he's had to finance himself with his own millions of dollars, and now he may be in a position where that's getting difficult to do. Joshua Stockley, political science professor at University of Louisiana, anything else you want to share with us as we get ready to start early voting tomorrow in this U.S. Senate race here in Louisiana?
Yeah, I don't. You've got a good handle on this race, and I thank you for putting this race on your calendar and talking about it. And I hope that our eligible voters will continue to vote in this series of elections that we have coming up in Louisiana.
Professor Stockley, thank you so much. I know we'll be talking to you again in the near future, and we'll see how this unfolds with early voting starting tomorrow. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Political science professor Joshua Stockley here on WWL. I'm Dave Cohen in for Newell Norman. What do you think? Do you think Letlow's got this in the bag? And do you have a problem with her not granting any media interviews and not participating in any debates and taking a defensive position to protect the lead and just maintaining the message? Donald Trump has endorsed her to be the U.S. Senator from Louisiana, and that's all she needs to say. What do you think? 504-260-1870 and the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. We'll talk about that coming up. We'll also get folks from the Port of New Orleans in here to help us understand what happens back there behind those walls and fences. Really amazing when you start to learn the details of just everything that happens. We're going to talk ship to shelf after this on WWL.
Hey, y'all. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze. Let's love.